Podcast. This is the part of the program where we point out how Wisconsin has been a leader in the country on something and not something to be proud of. That's because there's been a lot said in the January 6th committee hearings about the way former President Donald Trump and his cronies have tried to undermine the peaceful transfer of power in 2020. But here in Wisconsin, Republicans had already gone down that road 2 years earlier, and the state Supreme Court recently, also under Republican control, reinforced the tactics that they're using. It's to the point where Governor Tony Evers, in an interview with Up North News, came right out and said it. The GOP is anti-democracy right now. They are hostile to the peaceful transfer of power. That means they're disrespecting the will of the voters by not accepting defeat and letting the winners form the government that reflects what the voters want. And that's where we have an excerpt from our interview with Governor Evers. Let's hear what he told us.
I can't even get my appointees to boards approved. My appointees to boards. There hasn't been a peaceful transition of power in that world. I lost the Secretary of Agriculture, who is eminently qualified for no apparent reason. It seems as though he annoyed somebody on the Republican side. We have 9 Board of Regents members that have not been approved. It has nothing to do with my appointees. It has all to do with the Republicans not wanting to participate in democracy.
And we should note that Secretary of Agriculture, who was fired by the state Senate, is Brad Paff, who is, like Deb Baldus McGrath, another of the candidates for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, and is also now a state senator himself. But the most glaring example of this disrespect and hostility toward democracy is embodied by Fred Prenn, a former member of the state Natural Resources Board. And I emphasize former. His term expired more than a year ago, but he won't leave. He won't step down so that Evers' nominee can begin serving. And as a result, Scott Walker's nominees still control the Natural Resources Board because state Senate Republicans won't hold a confirmation vote. And now the state Supreme Court has said it sees nothing wrong with that, ruling against Attorney General Josh Call in a case that he filed in Dane County Court last August. We have since learned that Prenn coordinated this strategy with Scott Walker, other GOP lawmakers, and lobbyists. In short, most Wisconsin voters selected Tony Evers. They kicked out Scott Walker, but Republican legislators don't care how you voted. They continue to demonstrate this every time they talk about decertifying the 2020 election, even though there was no fraud, and they are perfectly willing to throw out your vote in the future by abolishing the State Elections Commission, for example. But let's get back to the obstruction going on right now by Prenn and the other positions where appointees of Tony Evers, the sitting governor, chosen by voters, haven't yet been confirmed here in the fourth year of his term, Kirk.
So Pat, thank you for that background. We needed that to kind of set this up. What's happening in Wisconsin is not a democracy. And I wrote about that last Sunday. I don't think Wisconsin can be called a democracy any longer if a governor that is duly elected can't appoint people to serve under him. So in our opening segment, we played this song called Human by a band with a pretty rough name, The Killers, but it's a good band. And this song said, are we human or are we dancers? And the reason I wanted to play that song is democracy only works when we have humans running it who trust each other, not dancers who perform a role given to them by their leader. In this case, it's Robin Voss and Republican Majority Leader Lemahue, who are, you know, kind of the puppet masters that are not allowing our Evers appointees to go through. So anyone with a brain in Wisconsin and a heart, like a human, can see that squatting on a board, that overstaying your welcome, is just not right. It's not what not how our system of government has been set up. So I spoke with a human earlier this week. she has a heart, she has a brain, and her name is Sandra D. Nass, and she's the woman who was appointed by Evers to be on the Natural Resources Board, and she hasn't been able to assume her responsibilities on the board because this guy named Fred Prenn is squatting. This woman is from Ashland. She's one of us up north and is an environmental consultant. She's the perfect kind of, she has a perfect resume to help protect Wisconsin's natural resources. Here is what she wrote to the, she's trying to get on this board, so she didn't want to necessarily be on our show, but I spoke to her and she wrote this to the Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is her statement. And it's wonderful but sad at the same time. Here we go. I'm disappointed by the Supreme Court's ruling. To date, I have not had the opportunity to serve the people of Wisconsin and especially to represent my northern neighbors in caring for and conserving our natural resources as a member of Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board. The courtesy of a Senate confirmation hearing to debate my qualifications has yet to be extended. It's discouraging that something as important as our natural resources is subject to political games. Let's be candid. We all know the current situation is about politics. I'm proud that Wisconsin has long been the nation's leader in natural resources management. This is largely due to the fact that the Natural Resources Board's staggered terms were specifically designed to prevent any one party's political influence. It's disheartening that one member can degrade Wisconsin's high standards by keeping their thumb on the scale to ensure political influence is enabled. This she means Fred Prain not leaving. His staying on the board means that they have the majority. Continuing her statement, we need to return to a system that keeps politics out of our natural resources management for the good of our citizens and the resources they depend on. That was from Sandra D. Nass a couple days ago in June.
It's just wild. I mean, the definition of a democracy is a system of government by the whole population. And we so do not have a representative government here. And this is just one symptom. So I looked up the Supreme Court ruling on why they chose to keep Prain on the board or on the board. And this is what they said. The expiration of Prain's term does not create a vacancy. Just because it expired doesn't mean that there's a vacancy there. Prain lawfully retains his position on the board as a holdover. Therefore, the governor cannot make a provisional appointment. So the court found that a vacancy is only created when a person dies, resigns, or is removed for cause. Like, what's the point of a term if that's the case? It just doesn't make any sense. We have completely lost touch with common sense and reality. And as you were saying earlier, this isn't just Fred Prain. I mean, his term expired May 1st. But five of Evers' picks for State Technical College System Board are unconfirmed, with three of them unable to serve because Scott Walker appointees refused to vacate their seats, even though their terms expired last spring. And seven of the governor's nine appointees to the 18-member UW Board of Regents are unconfirmed, including four who have been serving unconfirmed for more than 20 months. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it just, I mean, I can't, like, who has to talk about this to talk about how it's ridiculous? But, you know, like it's just not getting enough news. Like, should be hammering away on this every single day, every minute of every day, that Wisconsin is just like a bass ackwards.
But that's part of, Kirk, why you wanted to start this program in the first place and why I wanted to help start Up North News in the first place is that there are too few media choices in terms of getting people the information they need about state government. And state government is important. It's not boring. Most people know Tony Evers' name. Most people do not know Robin Voss, the Republican leader of the state assembly. Even fewer people know Devin Lemahieu, the Republican majority leader of the state Senate, which does the confirmations. And Lemahieu recently said about these appointments, if you go into some of the different appointments, some seem to be highly partisan and maybe not good appointments to these boards. We're definitely not going to confirm some of these appointments.
That is the most milquetoast, terrible explanation for what they're doing ever.
By saying it's political, again, that is Devin Lemahieu's way of disrespecting the voters. That says a Senate, which should advise and consent, which is a ceremonial term, but they're now running roughshod over the ceremonial traditions, much like in Congress, they were going to run roughshod over the ceremonial tradition of counting electoral votes, actually trying to hijack the proceedings. Well, that didn't succeed this time in Congress. but it is succeeding right now in Wisconsin. It has been succeeding for the first 3 years of Evers' term, even before he took office. They came into a lame duck session, stripped away powers that they were perfectly happy with Scott Walker having, took them away from Evers, took them away from Josh Call, even before they served. Again, lawsuits were filed, and again, conservatives who lead the state Supreme Court said, I don't see any problem with this, which is why we can't just be telling people about the importance of elections for governor, but for state attorney general, know who your legislator is, and these Supreme Court elections. It bears repeating, and it's going to get repeated a lot, that there's a Supreme Court election next April. Patience Rogensack, a conservative former chief justice, is retiring. So that conservative seat is up, and they have a 4-3 majority. And if one of at least there's two progressive candidates in the race so far, and if one of them wins, it becomes a 4-3 progressive Supreme Court. That is going to be a monster race that, unfortunately, voter turnout is going to be dismal next April. Yeah. And so it's incumbent upon every one of us, you know, paying attention to this, to talk to people who aren't paying attention for this. And I'll give you one final example. Good friend of mine last week, again, not a news junkie like you and me, but, you know, a good, smart person, and was asking me about the Senate race and the four main Democrats in there. And as I explained that to him, it became obvious he did not know that, you know, I was talking about Mandela Barnes, Sarah Godlewski. Did not know them, did not know who the lieutenant governor of the state is, did not know who the state treasurer is. And again, that's not a sin, but it's a reminder that those of us who pay attention to this stuff probably get sick of saying the same things over and over again, but we have to keep reaching out to our friends and neighbors and let them know about the importance of these things, Kristen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Without our voices, and it's, you do get tired of saying it and you feel like, well, I said it, so people have heard it. No, we have to say it over and over, and we have to explain why, and we have to listen and engage in these conversations, because otherwise people don't get out. They don't think that one vote that they have is important. But now more than ever, our votes are important. When voting is suppressed because we can't take it to a drop box, I mean, how ridiculous is that? How much less secure as a Dropbox than my mailbox that I put my ballot in. Anybody could come by and take it out of my mailbox. I mean, the way that they have the system rigged to defy common sense and to suppress our voices is really, it just defies understanding and makes it all that much more important, Pat, to use our voices, just what you had suggested earlier.
So, Pat, when you started saying, you know, we have to focus all our attention on this, you know, April election for Supreme Court, I'm just like, this hits me so hard, because it's like for progressives in Wisconsin, it's like gerrymandering. Finally, we can get something fair after 10 years of waiting. And then it was robbed from us. You know, like, we have a legislature that's robbing us. We have a Supreme Court that's robbing us. We have a governor that can barely do anything, but he's the best hockey goalie we have. Like, we lurch from desperate hope to being let down over the last decade, and all we're looking for is fairness and a fair playing field. And I can't understand how the other side, who are normal Wisconsinites for the most part, a lot of them are, like, obviously the politicians are not so hot, but these other Wisconsinites can't see that we're being cheated. And I don't understand why that doesn't get in people's craws more.
And what shouldn't get in their craws more this year as well, one of the things that's being covered, severely undercovered, I should say, I'm reminded of it when you said Republicans are robbing us in this area, There is a heist going on right now that nobody's talking about, a nearly $4 billion heist. This state has a massive budget surplus for various reasons. Things, you know, there was going to be a surplus pre-COVID, then it looked like a big deficit during COVID. The economy, of course, has come back to the point where there's, you know, inflation and other growth factors, but there is a surplus there. And Governor Evers and Democrats wanted to do something with it to help people, to help education, to help small businesses months ago. And Devin Lemahieu and Robin Voss said, nope, it's the end of February. We are done for the year. We're going to collect a paycheck for all the rest of the year, but we're not coming back into session. And as a reason, and they said out loud, we want to wait till next year to do something with that surplus. What they mean is they hope a Republican is in the governor's seat, and then that money is going to be the subject of a heist. It's all going to go toward tax cuts that overwhelmingly benefit the wealthiest and don't do nearly as much as they could have if it was put to work this year. And again, it is that lack of compassion, that lack of a work ethic for the things that make Wisconsin great, that are, you know, especially frustrating, you know, not just for the three of us who've you know, run in legislative elections, but for anybody who sees the great needs that are still out there.
There are so many people right now who need so much in the society with everything that's happening. I mean, there are so many ways that we could spend that money to benefit regular Wisconsinites, and they just want to sit on it. Like, you are right, Pat. They have no desire to actually serve the people who elected them. And that is the biggest travesty of this all.
And the people that don't get that money start thinking that government is terrible. And then they get that feedback loop by Republicans that say, let's not spend money on government through taxes. Government sucks anyways. So that feedback loop that they vote again for Republicans because sure enough, government's not doing anything for them because they hold the money up.
That's right. Now, we spent some time with Deb McGrath earlier. As I mentioned, she's one of four Democratic candidates in the 3rd Congressional District. So when we come back, we're going to play a little audio from my interviews with the other Democratic candidates as well. That's coming up next. You're up north.
Are we human or are we dancer? Are we